The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Welcome along to the 9 till noon show. It's Michaela Clark in this morning again for Greg Hughes. It's another glorious day here in Letterkenny, and I hope it's as nice wherever you're listening this morning. If you've got anything you want to raise or you want to join any of our discussions, as always, you can give us a call on 074 91 25000, or text or WhatsApp 086 60 25000, and you can also email comments at highlandradio.com. We've all the usual Wednesday segments coming, including Business Matters with Chris Ashmore and Wellness Wednesday coming up a little later. But first, let's have a look at what's making the papers today. Going first to the Irish Daily Mail, the headline is, "I am fighting the same fight 16 years later, this time for my own child. A mother who battled to receive scoliosis surgery 16 years ago has said she is terrified for her daughter, who has been diagnosed with the same condition." Caroline Walsh made headlines in 2008 when her spinal fusion surgery was cancelled following HSE funding cuts. She was eventually operated on over a year later, but now faces another fight for services after her five-year-old daughter Hannah was told she must wait 8 months to a year for a crucial MRI scan. Hannah suffers daily headaches and migraines because of her scoliosis. Do you think of the pain that that child is going through already, never mind what is possibly ahead of her, and she's waiting that length of time for an MRI scan. And I suppose it follows the case of Harvey Morrison Sherrett, who died a couple of weeks ago. His case was publicised a lot. He waited 7 years for a spinal operation, and you know, Minister Simon Harris, or the Taoiseach Joe, whenever he was Minister for Health, Simon Harris had said that, you know, no child should wait that long for treatment. But unfortunately, nothing seems to have changed, and that's still ongoing and still the case for many families struggling to get the care that they need for their children out there. The Sun now, "Bishop outrage at priest attack. A Down community has been shaken and upset deeply by the attack on a priest and a man's death at the weekend," Bishop Alan McGuckian has said. Many of you will remember Bishop Alan McGuckian as the former Bishop of Raphoe. Father John Murray was struck on the head in a brutal attack at St Patrick's Church in Downpatrick on Sunday. He was approached by a man who asked if he would hear his confession ahead of the morning service, then attacked as shocked parishioners arrived for Mass. So yesterday, Bishop McGuckian said that the whole community has been shaken and upset deeply by the recent events. And you will have heard Bishop McGuckian at times of tragedy here in Donegal. He was a great speaker, and he did provide such support and comfort to anybody that needed it. So I suppose the community in Downpatrick will receive much solace and support from Bishop McGuckian as well. The Irish Times now, "More than 120 complaints were sent to Minister for Higher Education James Lawless after he signalled that cuts to third level fees seen in recent budgets may not happen this year." This has been covered numerous times on the show, but the Fianna Fáil politician suggested in a radio interview that a €1,000 cut to the €3,000 fee might not be repeated in budget 2026 due to once-off cost of living measures being dropped due to economic uncertainty. There was a public backlash after his remarks, as well as division in the coalition, with Fine Gael members angry about the controversy the issue generated for the government. Records released by the Department of Further and Higher Education in response to a Freedom of Information request show some 125 complaints were sent to Mr. Lawless between June the 29th and July the 9th. And I suppose that is always the case. You know, the more people that rowing behind an issue and raise their concerns, more often than not you do see a bit of a movement or some kind of review. And you know, he has signalled that he is reviewing the matter at the minute, so I suppose we'll have to wait another couple of weeks to see what budget 2026 does bring. The Irish Independent, "Warning over e-scooters as accidents rise and Gardaí sees vehicles." E-scooter accidents and the devices used in crime are on the rise, according to healthcare specialists and in Gardaí Síochána. To June 30... There's just a bug on my desk, but we've got it sorted there now. So during the 30th, there has been 260 crashes involving e-scooters. Of these, 34 involve fatal or serious injury, with two resulting in deaths. That compares with 422 crashes for all of 2024, including four deaths. The force also said that dozens of seizures involving e-scooters have been made in Dublin since late 2023 as part of an effort to crack down on crime. There's been so much concern raised over e-scooter use, and in Letterkenny as well, representations have been made so many times. We've covered it in news. It's been covered on the 9 till Noon show previously. And Gardaí have said that, you know, they shouldn't be used on footpaths. But obviously people are ignoring that rule. And it is quite, you know, I suppose, an economically viable mode of transport, because you don't need tax, you don't need insurance, but it's the danger they pose then. They're so silent, you don't even hear them coming up behind you. You could easily step out in front of them, and you know, the e-scooter user isn't anticipating someone's going to sidestep into their path as well, but the danger it poses for them and the unsuspecting pedestrian as well. The Irish Daily Mirror: Catherine Thomas has backed her Rose of Tralee co-host Dathi O'Shea to be the next president of Ireland, saying he's a man of the people. It comes after today's show star Dathi admitted he was seriously thinking of running for the Irish one day. At the launch of the Rose of Tralee yesterday, Catherine was asked if she backed him for the presidency and insisted, "I do. He's a man of the people and everybody loves Dathi. Dathi is very Irish," she says. Asked if he thought it might be his last year hosting the Rose of Tralee before he has a tilt at the big job, Dathi clarified that it wasn't something he was thinking about this year when President Michael D. Higgins steps down. He said, "I take it on a year-by-year basis as I always have. Somebody asked me about the presidency. It was a leading question," Dathi says. "In one sense, it's something, honestly, I think that everybody who is in the public eye or a public servant should at least think about." So there, he's not ruling out running for the Irish just yet, but he's more or less saying never say never. And you will have heard Donal in the news there, he referenced Tony Holohan possibly running as well. And that recent poll that he referenced, it showed Fine Gael's Mairead McGuinness leads the field on 29% in support of her. That's followed by the only other official candidate so far, which is independent Catherine Connolly. Next was Sinn Féin's Mary Lou McDonald, who still hasn't confirmed if she will be running. And former Chief Medical Officer Tony Holohan and former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern were both on 15%. And Tony Holohan did say that that research carried out and the results of that was encouraging as well. So I'd say he's thinking about throwing his name into the hat there. The Irish Daily Star: some of you may have seen the shocking footage which emerged of a terrified horse crashing headfirst into a moving car after its handler lost control during a funeral procession. An animal rescue charity has now called for a Garda-led animal welfare crime unit to investigate the act. The dramatic footage shows a number of people driving carts and sulkies with horses attached and several more riding horses on the main R833 near Liffey Valley Shopping Centre in Clondalkin, Dublin, alongside a horse and carriage hearse. Two other people on horses are seen galloping along the green verge of the road as a number of vehicles, including a bus, pass in the opposite lane. One of the horses and carts then passes out of the hearse as the horse canters at speed along the road, and a person on the cart is heard shouting, "No, no," and uses their hand to try and direct traffic out of the way. I can only imagine the absolute panic of the owner of the horse and the drivers, the motorists that were, you know, they're obviously moving at a slow pace, but the horse was injured, but it could have been so much worse. You know, there could have been so many people injured in this and so many more animals injured. And yeah, it's just, it would have been very frightening, and thinking that a horse was coming at speed and the force of the horse that could have went through the windscreen of any vehicle. Finally for now, the Finn Valley Voice: no fault of Letterkenny in Letterkenny University Hospital. No fault of Letterkenny University Hospital and Palestinians case is the headline there. We did reference this yesterday, how a group of Palestinian families were due to be relocated to Letterkenny, and their children were due to receive care at Letterkenny University Hospital. But the mothers raised concerns over the care. They believed that the care that their children would be given at Letterkenny University Hospital would have been inadequate, and they were calling for them, if they needed to be relocated, to be relocated within a 2-hour commute of Dublin. We understand now that that relocation has been paused. But in the Finn Valley Voice, the front page, a local man who recently received cancer treatment at a Dublin hospital says that the 2-hour limit does not indicate poor levels of treatment in Letterkenny. Dublin hospitals often specify that recently discharged patients with serious conditions stay within a 2-hour travel radius of Dublin. They can then be rushed back if complications requiring specialised treatment occur. Dublin has specialised staff and equipment dealing with specific conditions in particular hospitals. It would be just the same if the patient came from Northern Ireland or a nearby part of Britain, the patient told the Finn Valley Voice. But surely if, you know, these children were to be relocated, that all that would have been taken into consideration, you know, the details of the care and what aftercare they may have needed. Well, that's all that's in the papers today.
Highland Radio Time Checks brought to you by Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. Airgrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is...
The time is now 17 minutes past nine. I'm joined now by Mervyn. Good morning, Mervyn.
Good morning, Michaela.
So, Mervyn, you had a bit of an incident on Saturday morning. Can you describe to us what happened?
Yes, I'll do my best. We were, my wife and I, we live on the close to the Inishowen 100 Drive, a place called Trumaun Bay. Mm-hmm. And we went out, we're farming sheep, and we went out that morning to move some lambs from a field that is along the Inishowen 100. Now we're going to have to just walk them about 130 metres along that road.
Yeah.
In the process. And we were quite oblivious to the fact that there was a cycle race in progress. And that was the, what do you call it, the Donegal Ultra 555,
mm-hmm.
which I had never heard of, to be honest, but, you know, it's important to cycling enthusiasts. So we just had brought a group of lambs out of a field onto the road to go up the road with them. And as I always do, I charge on ahead on a quad to get to the next corner to warn any oncoming traffic or whatever. And when I got there, there were two cyclists coming down at real high speed and just nearly on the corner. So I shouted a warning and they disappeared around the corner. The lambs were at a safe distance away for them to get stopped. But so I continued on up the road to the next junction, which is just a short distance up the hill, and to warn any further ones that might be coming, and sat there for a minute. Nobody came, and my lambs didn't appear either, so mm-hmm. I decided I must go back. There's something wrong, so I went back to the corner and just going, my wife was shouting, some of them are back in the fields where they came out of. Some of them are have jumped the bank on the other side over a fence into my ewe flock, and apparently the two cyclists had momentarily stopped and then decided to charge on through just right. when the lambs were on the road. So we then tried to... I was there then to try and help, and we had them sort of contained. But in the meantime, another couple of cyclists came flying down and continued on again through them. And... So lambs were bolting in two directions, you know, some back into their field, some over the fence on the opposite side. And
and I suppose that was difficult to try and contain them yourself and your wife. You know, you have a process in place to move them, but, you know, whenever they're scattered like this, very difficult.
It was chaos. It was chaos, yeah. Well, it's complicated a lot by the risk that there's more people going to come charging down the hill on bikes and vans and cars, too, that were following them. But We did, after those other two cyclists came through, basically all of the lambs at that stage then just about had jumped the fence into the other side.
Right.
So they were off the road, and we breathed a big sigh of relief. But they were, from our point of view, like it was a nuisance because, you know, they'd just jumped into the ewe flock that they were weaned from a couple of weeks earlier.
Yeah.
So we had a bit of extra work lined up then to bring them all up the road when the race was over and get them separated again, weaned. But at the same time, we were totally relieved that there wasn't a cyclist on his mouth and nose on the road, you know, after this.
It's a danger to the lambs, but also, you know, the cyclists are unaware when they're coming round, you know, the corner that there's going to be, you know, sheep being moved or sheep in the middle of the road.
Yeah, I would feel that, you know, the cyclists have probably filled their side of the bargain. You know, they're probably registered with Cycling Ireland and paid entry fees and so on. And they're run out in good faith that the route will be safe. And I feel that this is on the organisers, you know, that they should be...
And Mervyn, you weren't aware of this taking place. There was no notification at all on your behalf, to you?
No. I mean, I think that possibly the thing that should be done would be some other groups do it for marathons and things. At every road junction, at least, there probably should be some sort of notice saying this is about to place, you know, a day in advance and through the race or whatever. We would not have dreamed of going to do this job, you know, if we had known there was a race coming. It could have waited, but it just happened to put quite a few people and things in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And
in relation to the cyclists, was there anybody at all going ahead of them along the route, or it was the cyclists and then the cars were following them, was it? There was nobody stewarding it ahead of them?
There were certainly the two that came through first. No, there was no one ahead of them.
Right.
There was maybe a couple of vehicles came behind them. As far as I can remember, you know, as it was chaotic, so my recollection is there was no car in front of the second pair either, but there were loads of vehicles behind them.
Yeah, and you can just imagine, you know, if there was this, you know, there was two initially that came through, but if there was a large number of cyclists coming all together, say there was 10, and, you know, they came across the lambs, you could imagine, you know, the pile-up then, there would have been serious injuries.
Well, even one cyclist on the road would have been too many, you know, would I be concerned. And, like, you know, a 40-kilo lamb bolting just... easily capable of knocking someone off a bike, you know, or off their feet either, you know. It shouldn't be allowed to happen. And the reason I got onto your show was just to try and... I don't believe for one minute that we were the only people that were unaware of that race along the route, you know. And so I think that the organisers need to do better. And have you spoken to them? Is anyone coming on the show?
I think some contact was made. Yeah, there was contact made, but it could have very easily been a herd of cows, and they wouldn't have moved as quick as the sheep or the lambs.
yeah, that would have been probably. Maybe they wouldn't have maybe the cyclists wouldn't have charged through a herd of cows. You know, that's possible. I do fully understand their frustration. Taking part in a race, you know, it's just devastating for them probably to have to stop, you know, and lose seconds or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. I
get it, you know, but safety, they need to be kept safe. The public needs to be kept safe.
Yeah, it's an all-round approach is needed for those taking part in the race. And as you mentioned, you know, people living along the route and farmers like yourselves, did you lose any sheep, Mervyn, or did you manage to get them all together again?
No, they all ended up after the second charge of cyclists came through. There was a couple more on top of the bank on the other side of the road, and they jumped the fence as well into the ewe flock. But we're all in there, and they the danger was over.
Yeah. And has there been any other events in the locality, not necessarily this kind of race, that has taken place and you have received notification of?
Well, yeah. We've had rallies passing, car rally. And,
yeah, and you're giving good notice for that.
Yeah, they always do well know about it. And the road's closed, of course, too. You know, everyone would be aware of that. But they're probably, well, as I say, they're probably more dangerous, but maybe they're not, you know, because like a cyclist doesn't have a roll cage or a crumple zone or whatever on his vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So cyclists are very vulnerable, and we have marathon running here. It comes past the I should know the name of the race well, but anyway, it's left me. There's a ultra sort of marathons, one, two or three, I think, in a row, come past here often, and the organisers there are out, and they have little flags planted along the junctions.
Yeah, so you're aware that an event is taking place,
You kind of know, and you know, if you have some warning prior, you can go online nowadays and easily check, you know, and find out what is on.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what we did when we got back to the house that day. You know, we went online and discovered this race, you know, and that had been going on for, I think, a day before that elsewhere. So it seems to be a big event.
Yeah.
Can I ask, did any of the organisers, did you get any information about...
I know Carlene was in touch with the organisers and we're waiting on a response. Mm-hmm. So we'll bring that to you as soon as we get it. I'm also joined by Mary. Mary, you're of the same view as Mervyn, that the race passed your house, but there was no prior warning as well.
Yeah, this has been going on now for a few years, and it was the busiest weekend. Obviously, the Clamanagh Festival is on. It was a good day, and we had hired a gentleman in to cut our hedges on a very, very narrow road. Our road's on a brae, and the speed that the cyclists were coming down, followed by their promoting vehicle behind them, was ridiculous. Someone could have been killed quite easily. It just locks us in our houses practically for a whole day.
And that is, your location, at the brae, that's a clear lack of visibility for the oncoming cyclists as well. So they're assuming that the road is clear.
Well, I mean, there could be anybody on the road. I mean, I've been caught out before in previous years trying to come up that road and having to literally go into a field over a ditch. And they have no consideration for anybody because they can be quite rude as well. And the fact is, look, I'm not a spoiled sports by any means, but the fact is that nobody got any indication that this was going to take place.
And Mary, you said that has happened previously as well. Did you receive...
Oh, yeah, it's been on previous years.
Did you receive notification in previous years?
We've never had any indication.
Never? Okay.
Nothing. I actually phoned the guards a couple of years ago and they really weren't interested. And I said to them, surely if there's a car rally or if there's anything else on, the council or somebody should monitor the roads, inform the residents in the country areas that this is going to happen. Because someone is going to be killed. Or some, you know, on a country narrow road where two cars can't meet.
Yeah, and I'm sure the problem, you know,
Wild Atlantic Way.
Yeah, it's a very busy
route. And on that weekend, obviously, there was camper vans, all manner of people coming up and down the road, and everybody has to sort of get in or stand out of their way. You know, it's not on. If they want to go and race bicycles, let them do it on some track somewhere. Not on the public road, no.
Well, I suppose, they can race on the public road, but as long as you're given notification, that's the main thing, you know, the main concern
but
for
really
safety for all.
I think on certain parts of the road, I don't think it's acceptable that they can race at such a speed. You know, like what happens is one bicycle will come down the road past our house doing, I don't know how many miles an hour, faster than a car, and followed by his promoter in a big van, doing just the same speed. So where do you stand in, or what do you do if you meet them?
Yeah, given yeah.
But if they had the manners to just send maybe a week beforehand a leaflet around.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right saying go online, but a lot of elder people don't go online.
Yeah, well, that's it. They could, you know, I'm not sure. I'm sure there was, you know, notification on social media or whatever. But as you say, many people don't, you know, unless you maybe follow
well,
the page.
Well, I didn't know about it until I saw them.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my God, not again. You know, a whole Saturday taken over by people on cycles up and down a road, just owning a road and an area.
Mm-hmm.
The whole area over the Gap of Mamore or Clamanny, down through Destertigny and into Boncrana, taken over by a race.
Yeah,
you know,
they don't need to close the whole area for the whole day. You know, they can close certain routes, I suppose, and move them road closures along. So they're not impacting people living there too much as well. But any kind of measure would have no doubt been a huge help in relation to this.
Well, you could have planned, because, like, I mean, this time of year, farmers especially, I mean, they have no respect for the farmers anyway, but the farmers are taking home turf, mm-hmm. cutting silage, doing all manner of things, maybe moving animals as that last gentleman talked about.
Yeah.
And, you know, where is the warning for us? Nothing.
Yeah.
So I do think either the council or somebody should take this on board and, if possible, maybe a week beforehand, notify the people.
Yeah.
Or restricted to a certain number of hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I think would be very acceptable to most people.
Yeah.
You know, we're not being unreasonable. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Mary. And Mervyn, would you agree with that if there was road closures in place, that, you know, it was a certain period and you can move the closure along the route?
That would be a safer option, yes. I'm not sure how it works for the cyclists, because some of these ultra races mean you don't stop, I think. You know that it's a continuous run from beginning to end. I think you could confirm that with the organisers, but I think it's an endurance thing, you know, and they wouldn't want to be stopping too many stages probably along the way, but...
prior warning of the event is obviously necessary, and you know everybody can prepare then for what is happening.
Well, it's clear from listening to Mary that cyclists could do with a bit of a PR win,
mm-hmm.
because there's already a lot of conflict among mm-hmm. cyclists and other road users. And, you know, so I'm appealing to the organisers of this, you know, that they will go out, that they will take this as a warning and a very lucky near miss, you know, and that they will do better and just make it watertight that this kind of risk won't exist.
Yeah.
And a road closure for a couple of hours would probably... might be the safest thing, but that's up to County Council, and I don't know what about the rest of the public might agree, but whatever. But you can't keep putting people at risk like this.
Yeah. Mervyn, thanks so much for raising that issue with us. And as I say, that we have contacted the organisers, and as soon as we get a response, we will bring that to you. A couple of you have been in touch. A listener says there were notifications about the race online and the organiser was on the radio and in the papers discussing it. What more can they do? It's unreasonable to expect a letter sent to every house. The financial cost of that would be astronomical on a wee group of people. I suppose just the concern is that, you know, not everyone is online. You might have missed it in the paper, you might have missed it on the radio, but as I think it was Mary was saying, if you have some flags along the way, people know there's an event happening. Even if they put up one sign in the local area, you know, that would alert people to this. It's just a serious safety concern for the cyclists themselves coming round into a flock of sheep, or, you know, the farmer, they could have lost lambs in this case. As Mervyn was saying, it was just chaos at the time whenever the lambs scattered everywhere, but you know, it could have been a lot worse as well. The vans are not promoters, another listener says. They are service and safety for the cyclists. All cyclists are required to have service with them. Another says lack of communication. You think that the organiser would have advertised it better. Morning, Michaela. Mervyn is right. I encountered that bike race on Saturday too. I was photographing a wedding at Lacca Bridge and some cyclists came flying through when we were organising a photo with the bridal party. They came in at a high pace and could have easily injured one of the bridal party. I saw no signs up warning off the race. That comes in from Stevie. Yeah, I suppose another listener did say that, you know, they believed there was a good enough promotion of the event happening. But Mary was saying too, you know, it's not the first year that it's happened and there's never been any warning to them as local residents in the area. If you have any view on that, get in touch by calling us on 074-91-25000, texting or WhatsApping 086-6025000, or you can email comments at highlandradio.com. So the number of dead seals washing up along Irish coasts has more than doubled between 2020 and 2023, the highest amount on record. 430 dead seals were reported to the National Parks and Wildlife Service in 2023, figures obtained under access to information on the Environment Reveal. I am joined now by Patricia Devlin, who is reporter with the Journal Investigates. Good morning, Patricia.
Morning, Michaela.
So, Patricia, these are quite stark figures and no doubt worrying to many.
Yes, absolutely. We've seen a significant spike in dead seal reports over the last number of years. As you said, 2023 being the highest on record with 430. That's almost double that of 2020. And so I spoke to some experts about why there has been a rise. And in a nutshell, we don't really know. They do believe that the recent more extreme weather has had a negative impact. They said it's caused chaos at pupping time within seal colonies. So during a bad storm, little pups that aren't able to swim yet can get abandoned. They can get separated from their mothers. Also that seals can also obtain injuries when they're in the sea, getting bashed off rocks. So we don't really know, because there are no necropsies that take place. Those are animal autopsies in Ireland, only in suspicious...
And that is worrying in itself, that, you know, yes, these animals are being lost and nobody knows. Do you know, is there any investigations being done into this?
So we know that the NPWS, who are in charge of protecting seals, as they are a protected species here, they have done some investigations off the back of reports that seals have been deliberately harmed. That we're aware of reports received by the NPWS of some seals receiving gunshot wounds. There was even a report in there of seals that received suspected blade wounds. So in those cases, there are investigations, but just generally, no, there are none.
And so could that be the case, the gunshot wounds and, you know, the blades injuries? Do you think that's deliberate?
Well, that's a suspicion. We know in the number of cases that the NPWS did try to investigate, some necropsies weren't they weren't able to carry those out due to a lack of resources at that time. A seal's body will decompose very, very quickly. So that poses problems if a necropsy isn't done. But there certainly are a small, and it is a small number now, Michaela, of suspicion around deliberate acts. When we look at the big figure, you know, the 430, and last year, you know, it dipped a bit. There was 322 deaths. We don't really know, but experts believe that, you know, climate change, even possibly human disturbance, like that might be people approaching seals. You know, there have been incidents in the past in the likes of County Kerry where tourists have approached seals for taking selfies, mm-hmm. which seems bizarre. And also, you know, disturbing mothers feeding their young. It can lead to mothers abandoning their pups, and that can lead to deaths. So there's a lot of unknowns around this.
And I suppose the concern is, as you mentioned, they're a protected species. Is there concern then that the progress of these seals being killed, that, you know, eventually they could be wiped out? Now, obviously, we're a long way off, but if this keeps going and we don't know exactly what's causing it?
Well, the seal population has increased significantly, thank goodness, because back in the early 1900s, they were almost extinct here. But what the experts would say is, if in particular during pupping season, if you know more extreme weather happens, that it will eventually have an impact on the population because you will be losing more pups. But I do believe we're a long way off that. But like I said, there's a lot of unknowns and it is a concern.
And in relation to the weather events, you know, we're seeing more and more of that as well. And that is outside our control. So, you know, there's nothing really, I suppose, people can do, or, you know, the agencies and the authorities that have the power to do something, you know, we can't control that either.
Absolutely, Michaela. It's really challenging. You know, seals as well. They're huge animals. Seal Rescue Ireland can only rescue seal pups. They can't rescue, you know, injured seals that are on the beach. You know, they can try to help them, but I mean, it's just impossible. So again, yeah, a lot of unknowns. And but it would be great to have data around. Mm-hmm. You know, why are we seeing seals being, you know, so many dead seal reports? Is it because of climate change? Is it because the the population has increased and there's just more deaths because of that? Or is it more awareness? But we just don't know. There's no data.
And do you think, you know, if there was more data, that obviously we could signpost the resources exactly where we need? You know, in Donegal, there was 69 seal deaths in 2023. So, you know, we've talked so much about that something does need to be done, but if, you know, it's kind of such a gap that we don't have the data.
Yeah, that's the baseline for everything, really, Michaela, is you need data to be able to, you know, look and see what can be done, what can't be done, what to expect, what you can predict, and that's really it. So, I mean, that's up to the authorities to mm-hmm. do. Seal Rescue Ireland do an amazing job. They're rescuing pups, but they're also gathering data, and it's such a small team mm-hmm. for covering the whole of Ireland. So, you know, they've laid the basis for that, and they would certainly like to see that happen.
Yeah. Patricia Devlin, reporter with the Journal Investigates, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And you can read more about that on thejournal.ie.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhinney's. Get back to school sorted with all the essentials from school jumpers to shoes. Visit our kidswear department in store or shop online at McElhinney's.com today.
Today's weather, very warm and humid. Scattered cloud will build through the afternoon and a few showers are possible later. Highest temperatures today of 24 to 27 degrees. Now, there has been a significant development in the case of Private Sean Rooney. Prosecutors in Lebanon have formally launched an appeal against the sentences handed down over the murder of the Irish peacekeeper. I'm joined now by Sinn Féin Deputy Rory Murcu, who is a family friend of the Rooney family. Good morning to you, Deputy.
Morning, Michaela.
So no doubt this is a hugely welcome development.
It is now. I suppose on some level, seeing is believing, and we need to see delivery mm-hmm. upon this. But look, I had written to the Taoiseach and to the Taoiseach in relation to the fact that nobody could have been happy, particularly from an Irish perspective, in relation to what had happened in court in Lebanon, in front of the military tribunal, and the fact that Mohammed Ayed was found guilty of murder of Sean Rooney, but that this had happened in absentia and that nobody knew where he was. So one of the promises, obviously, that has happened, and obviously I wrote to the government. The government wrote and engaged with the Lebanese authorities. I know that the Taoiseach was speaking to the Minister for Justice and the Minister for Defence from Lebanon, and they have made a promise that they would do everything in their powers in relation to taking Mohammed Ayed into custody. That needs to happen as soon as possible. I think there needs to be an explanation in relation to why the situation arose where he was allowed to leave custody. And then beyond that, no one was happy with a 1 month sentence, a 3 month sentence, mm-hmm. and then derisory amounts of fines in relation to what was a brutal murder of, obviously, Sean Rooney. And it's very lucky that three of his comrades weren't dead either. And obviously, Trooper Shane Kearney was very severely injured. And then we welcome the fact that they have lodged the appeal with the Military Cassation mm-hmm. Tribunal. And then that Well, you can take it whatever way you want, but they obviously made a determination that they would change the chief prosecutor.
Yeah.
So, look, this all looks hopeful, but we know the issues that existed before in relation to the delays, in relation to the release of some of the suspects before being found guilty. So none of this is good enough. So we need to make sure we maintain whatever pressure we can on the Lebanese authorities. We need to make sure they do their utmost in relation to delivering justice for Sean Rooney and his comrades. And then beyond that, this state also has to make sure that it does absolutely everything from a point of view of seeing right by Sean Rooney. And we know that Michael Delaney still has has an independent review ongoing, and that's into internal tactics, techniques, processes and procedures, you know, that relate to obviously that particular tragic day. So we need to ensure that that finds its way to a conclusion. I think it's to report in the autumn. And again, we need to ensure that all the information that is out there is provided to Natasha and the Rooney family. And
have you spoken to Natasha since this news emerged yesterday?
No, I haven't. I will make contact as well. I would be very friendly with Natasha's mum and dad and other members of the family also. You know what I mean? I would see them very often. But obviously, this news came in particularly late. And again, the family would at the end of the day, Natasha makes whatever statements are made in relation to the family. So I'm making statements on behalf of myself here. But I think most people would be in agreement that Sean Rooney was a heroic young man. As I say, I've seen testimony, you know, even from the UN in relation to this. The General Secretary, Antonio Guterres, wrote a beautiful letter, which is I've seen in the grandparents' house, in relation to his heroics and how he saved others from death on that particular day. So we need to see right by him. We need to make sure that we learn what can be learned in relation to what it will always be a very dangerous job, but an absolutely necessary job, and that's peacekeeping for the UN.
The government, there's so many peacekeepers in Lebanon, and the government now taking this stance, you know, it shouldn't have got to this stage anyway, but it is some, you know, support for them out there as well, that the government's behind and they're trying to ensure that justice will be served, particularly for Private Rooney. But, you know, that everybody that puts their lives in danger out there, that, you know, the government is behind them, and, you know, hopefully we don't have a repeat of this, but that they're keeping a close eye on the judicial system out there.
Yes, look, we hope that we don't have to deal with many more of these cases. Obviously, where someone had, you know, like Sean Rooney, you know, made the ultimate sacrifice. But when that happens, you have to do two things. You have to look after him. You have to look after his family. You have to make sure that we have the correct procedures and guidelines and, as I say, tactics and everything else from a point of view of we mitigate the dangers that exist in relation to peacekeepers, and we do everything from a point of view of keeping them safe. But also in scenarios like this, we do everything of making sure we keep the Lebanese authorities' feet to the flame in relation to delivering justice. But beyond that, we also have to make sure that we do our pieces here. Mm-hmm. And we all know the issues that even existed that I think shocked us when the fact is information wasn't always forthcoming from the United Nations. You know, and that's not good enough, because Sean Rooney was over there as a member of the Irish Defence Forces, but he was also there on a UNIFIL mission. So it's an absolute requirement that both the Irish state, that the Defence Forces and that the United Nations, you know, do right by those that serve and do right particularly by those who made the ultimate sacrifice. You know, as I say, and they were out there peacekeeping in a part of the world which is incredibly dangerous. But let me tell you, you can even take it on the point of view obviously that the Israelis did not want Irish peacekeepers there. That just tells you the importance of this. They're put in a very dangerous circumstance and situation. And as I say, none of that was helped by some of the statements that have been made by Hezbollah and others beforehand, you know what I mean, of accusing the UN of UN soldiers of being Israeli spies, because they were no longer being informed of via the Lebanese armed forces of the actions of the UN. Look, a very dangerous job. We have to ensure that we do the absolute best from a point of view of securing obviously our troops. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, we also need to make sure that that there is justice delivered.
And do we know how long this appeal may take? I know there's been so many delays encountered so far, and I'm sure Private Rooney's family just want justice and adequate justice that they would see fit eventually served.
Yeah, we would also like to see that this would happen in a timely way. We couldn't say that has been the process to date. Mm-hmm. Everything took far too long. There were too many delays. The information wasn't necessarily provided to the Rooney family, wasn't even provided to this state. I know I spoke to the Taoiseach and Taoiseach in their various positions over the last while in relation to this. And I would say they were not happy with their interaction with the Lebanese authorities in any way, shape or form. I'm assuming that has improved somewhat with the change of government. Now, none of us were happy with the end result that happened, as I say, with Mohamed Ayad being being found guilty, but in absentia, and the issue in relation to the derisory sentences that were given out to the others. But look, we welcome that there is movement, but it needs to happen. Like, it has to happen reasonably swiftly. But it, you know what I mean? And that's not taken away from the fact that obviously due diligence and whatever has to be delivered in the court setting. But look, this a huge amount of the information is out there. We're well aware of what happened. We're well aware of the heroics of Sean Rooney. We're well aware of the murderous intent of others. And we need to ensure, as I say, that justice is provided. And yes, it is not okay that this would drag on the way it did previously.
Yeah. Deputy Rory O'Murphy, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And of course, we'll be keeping a close eye on that. And hopefully, as Deputy O'Murphy said there, that this does quicken at pace now, and we do see some justice served, adequate justice for Private Rooney. Just to mention before we head towards the news at 10, Highland Radio's Mega Summer Draw. What would you do with €20,000 in cash? You can buy a ticket today for Highland Radio's Mega Summer Draw and you will have five chances to win big. Every Friday from the 15th of August, which is this Friday, to the 5th of September, we will be giving away €2,500 in cash. And that's not all. On Friday, the 5th of September on the 9 till noon show, we will be drawing a ticket where one lucky person will win €10,000. To buy a ticket, simply go to highlandradio.com, click on the draw link, and you can get one ticket for €15 or five tickets for €50. Don't miss out on your chance to win big with Highland Radio this summer. What a lovely summer treat that would be too, wouldn't it? A nice €2,500 and then possibly €10,000.